Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. Coming up on the programme this week.
Every day in school, children should have time out throughout their day to learn skills such as self-regulation and helping to reduce anxiety.
By having a mindfulness session, even if it's a 5-10 minutes thing as part of registration or whatever, would they then see benefits in terms of maybe some of those aggro issues that might otherwise develop?
They need that time in their day to just relax and have that little bit of time out. And the only place they can get that really, unless parents do it with them, is that time in school, which I think is just so necessary for everybody.
And I'll be reminding you how you can make connections with mental health organisations within your community. It's Mental Health Monday.
The home of the UK's conversation about mental health. Welcome to Mental Health Monday. As ever, it's a pleasure to have you on board. Thank you for your tweets and your messages and your shares. At the last couple of episodes of the podcast, we did two parts of our conversation with Carrie Carlisle and her new book. We got some really positive feedback for that. So thank you to everybody who's been in touch with the programme. I've got a story today to tell you about, and it's somebody who's involved in yoga, mental health and well-being from a children's and teaching point of view. Her name is Katie Scott. She works under the Little Sunshine banner, and she's got a petition which she has launched calling for mental health well-being to be front and centre in regard to a child's education, to make time every day within a classroom or school environment for children to learn skills to look after their own mental health. And that's not just about, you know, yoga sessions and meditation. It's about self-confidence. It's about understanding positive relationships. What is a negative relationship? And how could a child almost teach themselves to look after their mental health in a better way? It's a really interesting idea. The petition's just been launched, and I'll put a link to it in the podcast notes. So if you want to support it, you can do. You can also find out some more about Katie and the work she's doing through her Instagram and social media. I'll put the links into that too. But I wanted to talk about the work that Katie's done in schools and the benefits that she has seen when she's done that work in schools. If, you know, the government are going to respond to this petition, what would be the benefit to schools? What would be the benefit to teachers? But more importantly, what would be the benefit to those pupils?
It's funny you say that, because today I've had a little girl into the HAF programme that I'm delivering. Haven't seen her for a couple of years. And she said to me, "I always remember everything that you taught me from 4 years ago." So that's just amazing to hear that feedback from the children. But I've been doing Little Sunshine for 6 years now. And what I'm trying to get across is that every day in school, children should have time out throughout their day to learn skills such as self-regulation and helping to reduce anxiety, ways to help with their own emotional well-being and building the self-confidence, including positive relationships, learning about, you know, what's a good relationship and healthy relationship and what's quite negative. So yeah, I've been doing this for 6 years. It's my absolute passion. I love what I do. I can't give it up. I love it. And now I'm training teachers. So I've got an accredited course now that trains teachers in mindfulness and meditation.
What does that look like or sound like within sort of a classroom environment when you have those sort of conversations? Is it a you stand at the front of class and everyone else goes quiet, that the kids lie down? How does it work?
I've got two books out, Taking Worry Out of the Classroom. So there's all different types of activities that I deliver. Some of it all based on self-esteem. And what we do is a lot of creative. It's fun. It's fun for the children. So they probably don't even realise they're getting so many benefits out of each activity. But it's trying to, you know, engage children and give them these strategies to help, lifelong tools, really, to help them when they're feeling anxious and help them with their emotional development.
So give us an example of a session.
We do things like kindness cups. So we make little kindness cups. So I say to the children every morning, when you wake up in the morning, I want you to choose a little note out of your kindness cup to start your day in a positive way. So it's just trying to get them to focus on positive things. We do like affirmations. We do little routines, so little yoga sessions in the morning before they start their day. Breathing techniques. We do lots of creative activities. I believe that, you know, a lot of the children that I work with have had trauma. And I believe that when you've had trauma, it's really good to focus your energy into something that makes you feel good. So we talk about where you focus your energy, who makes you feel good, what places make you feel good. Just really channeling that energy into something good, like art or creative writing or sport or music. I believe that really helps with your mental health.
Does it change depending on the age of the children? Give us a sense of the sort of age groups that you might be dealing with and how you might sort of adapt things accordingly.
Yeah, so from the age of three, we focus on mostly sensory activities. So it's all about, that's what mindfulness is, focusing on your senses. So we do lots of sensory activities, all helping with the monkey mind, what we call the monkey mind, or the chitter chatter of the mind in yoga. And then as we get older, obviously, we're looking at what activities are more appropriate for their age. So I work with teenagers as well. And it is sort of, when I'm working with teenagers, we're looking at like, so obviously the hormones and stuff like that. We're looking at like not taking on other people's projections and, you know, focusing your energy and again on things that make you feel good, being in nature, you know, going for walks in nature and things like that.
You find that you're pushing on an open door. Like, are young people open to this as a conversation? I remember we used to do it with that. We used to do it as part of like RE at school, where like the teacher would like play some like panpipe music. And you'd have like a, you know, like a, she would walk you down, you're walking down a path. You know, and everyone would sort of lie down. I remember all that stuff. I remember thinking, oh, yeah, I do. And there'd be about four of the kids would be asleep by the end of the lesson because they were so relaxed. They just sort of dropped. But we were quite warm for it. I think as you get older, you get a little bit maybe more cynical or you feel a little bit silly doing it. But do you find in those age groups that they are open to the idea of getting involved?
When I first started Little Sunshine 6 years ago, a lot of people were sceptical. So we used to go into schools. I was just so dedicated in this stuff. It changed my life. I've been practicing yoga and meditation for about 12 years. So for me, it was like, we need to be teaching children from young this amazing, these amazing tools. And I was so passionate. And I used to go into schools and do teacher training. And there'd be like 30 teachers there. And some of them would walk out and laugh. They'd literally laugh in my face. So I used to think to myself, at first it affected me. And then I used to think, I'm just going to focus on, even if it's only three teachers that are listening to me, I'm just going to focus on them. And it's the same in school. I think what happens in school is they first find it quite funny, you know, doing meditation, they start giggling, and we do like peer massage as well. And then after a while, they absolutely love the sessions. They love it. I work in an autistic school in Walton. Every Thursday, I've worked there for 4 years. And the children just, they call me Miss Sunshine. So when I go in, they know it's quiet time and it's just giving them that time in their day just to relax. It's amazing. It's so powerful.
I was going to say, how much of it is about the routine of it? Because of course, if you could say, right, everybody, you're all going to do this thing. Everyone's going to go quiet. Nobody say anything. Then straight away, everyone starts giggling. There's no doubt various farmyard noises start appearing from, you know, the... the boys, it's normally the boys. But like when you build it into like a routine of like, here comes Miss Sunshine and now you're just going to chill out. Do they suddenly see that as the moment where they go, oh, I can relax a bit now?
Yeah, absolutely. There was a school that I was working in Kirby. And when I first went in, the children were like, they were like throwing chairs around. They absolutely loved the sessions. They were so calm and they loved the activities because it's creative and it's fun. So it was having my time in their day to really focus on themselves, which they all need 100%.
What do they say to you after the classes? And then what do the teachers say to you about maybe what the kids are like in the hours after a session?
Yeah, I think what I always say to teachers when we're starting our teacher training or we're doing some workshops, I always bring in the fact that there's a mental health crisis at the moment. There's children who are really struggling with trauma and it's getting worse. I've worked with children for 29 years and it really is. There's a crisis and this is an issue. This is something that needs to be addressed. It really is an issue. So when I'm talking to the teachers, the first thing they say is, I bring that in. You know, this is something that we need to address this. It's not, we can't keep going the way we are. The curriculum needs to change. I trained as a teacher myself, so, and I know how hard it is. I know how hard it is for teachers. I know that they're up the wall. I know that the curriculum's really rigid and they haven't got the time. But for me, it's like, we need to find that time. This should be part of the curriculum. I don't understand why after 6 years, I am still fighting for this to be. And this is why I've put this training course together, because for me, it's like, this needs to be in every single school. These activities should be in every school, and I want to train one designated teacher in each school so that there's someone on hand in the school to deliver this stuff. And it's so powerful as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, I bet. We'll put a link to your petition for daily sessions of mindfulness in the podcast notes so people can go there and hopefully support it and sign it. I think I know what you're going to say is the answer to this one, but if schools could implement this, would they see a benefit to it, which maybe would save other times in the day? You know, the times they're dealing with other things, by having a mindfulness session, even if it's a 5-10 minutes thing as part of registration or whatever, would they then see benefits in terms of attentiveness or, kids being a little bit more maybe chilled out, that reduces maybe some of those aggro issues that might otherwise develop?
Well, I did an evaluation last year or the year before in a school in Knowsley. So what we did was, I did an 8-week programme with children. At the beginning of the programme, I asked them 7 questions about their emotional well-being. And at the end, we asked them at the end 7 questions again. And every single child, there was 29 children, male and female, they all said that these improved in all areas, that all 7 areas. So, and I know from feedback from parents, from children, even today, the little girl said, her name's Isla, she's lovely. I haven't seen her for a while. And she said, your sessions, I always, when something comes up in life, I always think about, what did Katie teach me? And that was 4 years ago. So it really is powerful. And what I say as well to teachers is, you know, there's children at home and they're living in, you know, dysfunctional homes, or there's things going on. When they come into school and you're asking them to be quiet and concentrate, their monkey mind is going to be thinking about whatever's going on at home. They can't concentrate, just like an adult. If we're stressed, we're going to find it difficult to concentrate. So maybe it's like the children's coming to school and just take that first 10 minutes doing a little bit of mindfulness or meditation, or just doing an activity that settles them and makes them feel better. This is what they should be doing every day.
And what do the teachers say to you about those sessions, or after a session? What do they say to you about the benefits that it's brought?
Yeah, I always get positive feedback, or I've never had negative feedback, if I'm honest, in the 6 years. But it is about implementing it. And I think it's okay, a school saying, come in and work with this class for a year. That's great. Wonderful for that class. But I believe this should be in every class. This should be, you know, there's children there who are really academic and they're quite quiet and they're getting on with the work. They could be full of anxiety and they're not getting the chance to do these activities, which we all need. It's all lifelong lessons, I think. For me, I just can't understand why it already isn't in school, because it's more important than anything else to me. And I think this can have a massive impact on our future. Like, if you're given these tools from a young age and everybody's working together, then hopefully our future generation, there's going to be a difference there.
You hinted at it with the feedback you got from that young person about, oh, I remember what you were doing, you know, 4 years ago. Does what you learn in that classroom environment transfer into adult life? So if that young person is going for a job and is stressed out, does it transfer? If that young person has got a mortgage and is really struggling and they've got 3 kids of their own, does it transfer there? Is it the sort of stuff which, you know, from an education point of view, you can learn in school and redeploy sort of later in life?
I wish I had I learned, it would have saved me a lot of bother. Even like talking about positive relationships and stuff like that, knowing the difference between a positive relationship and an unhealthy relationship. They're just tools that should just generally naturally be taught in schools. I just believe that they should be taught from the age of 3, just totally right into secondary school. It should be natural for us to know how to deal with our emotions and ways to help ourselves, basically.
You think that sort of emotional vocabulary can be enhanced through something like this? I mean, I grew up in the normal years of, we don't talk about it. It might be something that gets mentioned from time to time, but most of you will just get to adulthood and then suddenly realize that depression is a real big thing, anxiety is a massive thing, that trauma from childhoods can play a massive implication but also that eating disorders can become an issue, that suicidal thoughts can become, all of those things which you then have to deal with as an adult, but you have to deal with them as an adult with no training or understanding really of what's going on. I think that's changing a little bit, but could these sorts of mindfulness sessions actually include that education around, you know, what is, you know, an eating disorder, or what, it doesn't have to be as explicit as that, but your relationship with the world around you and how you interact with it. Are those the sorts of things that can be taught, if you like, to young people?
Yeah, I sort of focus on things like, we do like emotion activities. So it's just getting just children to be aware of their emotions. The first thing that I say to every single class when I start is, put your hands up if you ever feel anxious. And every single child in the class goes like that, including me, including the teacher. Every single child puts their hands up. So that's an amazing way to show children, listen, we all feel like this. It's okay. It's not normal to teach people that you're supposed to be happy all the time. Listen, we all get anxious at times. It's okay. But what are we going to do? What strategies are we going to do to help ourselves? So for me, that's what it's all about, giving people strategies to help them. Obviously, I'm not a counsellor, so my sessions are talking about really highlighting emotions, what different emotions we have, knowing that that's okay to have these different emotions. We talk about like ways to reduce anxiety, ways to reduce frustration and anger, and just using creative, fun activities. So yeah.
I think it's huge. One of the things, and this is not a criticism of schools at all, because I'm married to a teaching assistant, and my mum's a teacher, my dad's a teacher, my brother's a teacher, and my other brother's a teacher, and my brother's wife's a teacher. But do you think there's a chance that maybe that, and this isn't just about schools, but this is about sort of wider decision making around mental health, that, and I get a sense of this potentially in terms of the conversations I've had, that sometimes we're wary of letting the genie out of the bottle, that, well, what if after one of Katie's sessions, a child then starts talking about a trauma, or starts talking about an abusive relationship, or starts to, do we have the skill set to deal with it? Now, I know that schools, if that situation occurred, would absolutely put every support they could around that. But it's a big genie to let out of the lamp if you're going to say, you know what?
Yeah.
Feelings, openness, maybe some of those difficult conversations are all going to be normalized around it, because they will be normalized, and children will feel empowered to talk about why they feel a particular way. But then someone's got to then deal with that or put structures in place. Do you get a sense that maybe that might be why we don't move as quickly as maybe we could on this? Because we think, well, what happens after one of those sessions if a child comes out and says, that thing she was saying about depression, I feel like that all the time. And then the schools have got to respond, or the authorities or whoever's got to respond. And there's a sense, well, it's almost easier not to ask. It's easier not to have that. It's the wrong attitude, of course, but you see, this is the point I'm making.
Yeah, absolutely. And I get where you're coming from, but I think that there's a mental health crisis. So to me, because a lot of teachers might say it's not our responsibility to deal with children's mental health, and I totally get why they say that. They've got enough on the plate. But for me, it's like, who else is doing it? Because you've got children at home who may be in really difficult circumstances. They're coming into school and they're getting told, you need to listen and you need to learn this and you need to do this and you need to, and you've got behaviour problems, but you need to be learning this. At what point in their day do they get the right support? So for me, it's like, I think school is the place. School is the place where children need to have that emotional support, because there's a mental health crisis and it's getting worse. I can see that in my own work. So it's like, okay, well, something has got to be done. And this is why my skills and tools from the young age should be brought in. If it was naturally every day in school, then maybe we wouldn't have as many mental health problems. Maybe there wouldn't be as much, you know, trauma, and not as much trauma, because obviously there's trauma from other things. But yeah, this is what's needed. We need to be teaching these skills from a very young age.
You mentioned, Katie, your passion for the subject in the last 6 years, but in the 12 years. What was it for you on your journey that brought you to yoga or and sort of mindfulness techniques?
I think I'd worked in a nursery for 12 years and then I went to do my teaching. I think that's what sent me to yoga. It was hard work, put it that way. I found out I was dyslexic and dyscalculic in my third year of uni. I was 38. And that made a lot of sense. And what I was finding in uni was that things didn't sit right with me. There was things that did not sit right because I was thinking to myself, well, if I was in a child, I felt like I'd gone back to my childhood because it was dyslexic and dyscalculic. This is why I've got such a passion and a connection with children. So I felt like, I just felt like this is, I want to make such a difference to children, the mental health. This is my passion. So basically I started practicing yoga and meditation about 12 years ago. Did lots of courses, children's courses, NLP, mindfulness, meditation, all that type of stuff. I've always been bothered about children's well-being more than anything else that comes first. I've been like that since I was 16, so it's like 29 years or whatever. And then I remember thinking, why aren't children doing this? Because it had changed my life. Yoga and meditation had changed me. So I was like, why aren't children? I just don't understand why children aren't doing these activities from a young age.
Tell me about the difference it made to you.
It opened my eyes to a lot of stuff. It opened my eyes. I think when you've been practicing meditation and yoga for a long time, you start to become very aware, very conscious of your own patterns of behavior. If you're talking about a personal level, I was looking at self-development, really. Really looking at my own patterns, my own, why do I do things a certain way? And it really set me on a journey of self-development. I've made lots of changes in my life. Lots and lots of changes. It's really opened my eyes to a lot of stuff. Just realising that, you know, being in nature and doing meditation and these skills really help with your mindset. So for me, it just, my monkey mind, basically, just helping with my monkey mind. I've always been a really sensitive person. So yeah, it really, really helped with things like that for me.
Good stuff. Do you talk to your adult friends about, yeah, they obviously know you and they know what you're about, things like that. But do you ever sort of the diagnose that somebody's in a little bit of need of yoga and meditation? Is that a conversation that you can have?
I used to preach a lot. I used to preach to everybody. I don't do it anymore. Unless someone comes to me, but I do have a lot of people that come to me for help and stuff like that. I'm always having people who are saying, can you help me with this? Or I don't know why they come to me half the time. It's just a journey, a lifelong journey of self-development. I think some people just go through life doing the same things and not learning the lessons. And I've literally had to learn a lot of lessons along my little journey. It's definitely helped me.
And in terms of that space as well, from an adult point of view, I think sometimes still people, when they picture if you're going to have a mindfulness moment, they think about the cross legs, the mat on the floor, the tropical shrubbery around them, you know, the river just running past them. They have all those images as well. But I'm also aware that I know people who are sort of like rough blokes from Chorley who do mindfulness sessions. They'll do it in their living room chair, they'll do it in bed at night, they'll do it first thing when they wake up, and they laugh about the idea that if you'd have said to them 10 years ago they'll be having these sort of mindful moments, and yet they're finding the time and a space to do that.
I think the world's changing. I think that it's changing and we've got to naturally go with the change. I think, as you probably know yourself, there's a lot of things going on in the world, and I think we need to change with the times. I think the curriculum is so outdated. That needs to change. It's just not going with the flow of life. I think the changing for people. I think people are exhausted living on this rat race of, you know, going to work, struggling to pay bills, obviously within the cost of living. Everyone's exhausted, I think, and stressed. We're all trying to survive. We're all struggling to survive. So, you know, it's making sure that people don't wear themselves out and have that time just to relax. And I think even with children, they need that time and that in their day just to say, wait for the same. They need that time in their day to just relax and have that little bit of time out. And the only place they can get that, really, unless parents do it with them, is that time in school, which I think is just so necessary for everybody.
I think it also, that time as well is like reflective time, isn't it? That allows you to reassess maybe some of your priorities. That I always think the thing about the rat race for me is that even if you win, you're still a rat. And it's that the world we're in now where we're constantly looking outward, like, you know, we're looking to our phones and we're looking for it to interact with us. Whereas actually, if anyone just goes and has that walk in the park or goes, you know, climbs up a mountain or just has that day without their phone or goes to the beach or whatever, it does reset something within your brain, doesn't it? It reconfigures that. And then I'm wary that sometimes people will look around and go, but I've got a fancy kitchen now and I've spending all my money, you know, to get this car and I've got the house I've got, but I'm skint and I'm not happy. Like, is this it? And then for a lot of people, they'll go, yeah, that is it, because that's the game, isn't it? You get a house, you get married, you get kids or whatever. You got a job. And they go, well, I've got loads of debt and I've got... But you can say, well, you know what? Go and sit in your garden. Go and sit outside. Go for a walk. That's it. Sit on that bench and look out. That's it. Then you've got it. You've got everything you need there in that moment. You've got the, you know, you got the fresh air. You got nature around you. I think we don't have that skill as a society to do to go. This was the moment. I have it. It happens with the football, where your team scores or go, and people are straight away thinking about what's the next thing, or even worse, they're like looking at their phone to check that their gambling thing's coming or whatever. I'm thinking, enjoy the moment. This is the moment now. Next week, you won't be this. You won't feel like this. Next week, you'll be thinking about next season and that everything. So this is, you know, enjoy these moments, find these moments. I think as an adult, I try not to catch myself doing it too much, but I often think this is a moment. So if I've got my friends around me in a pub and we're having a good chat, I kind of go, right, this is my, enjoy this because it's happening now. These are the things you're looking for. You can't think about it too much because then you start to self-analyze about why you're enjoying it. But I feel like there's so much in that mindfulness that you can get from something that's just happening now versus, you know, that holiday to Disneyland, which might happen if you can get the money together and think, you know, all that kind of stuff that's going on.
I used to say about like how people work so hard for a whole year. I mean, it makes me laugh when you think of it like this. You know, you work so hard for a year and you're absolutely stressed and you're worn out and then you go on this holiday for a year to lie in the sun, to burn your skin. You fly off to another country to lie in the sun, to burn your skin. And then you're back all around. It's like...
But then you spend all your money on alcohol because you think that that's what people do. They go to the beach and they have drinks. But then you feel rotten because you've been drinking nonstop for 10 days or 2 weeks or whatever. You come back and you go, well, was that it? But then they go, oh, yeah, and you got some great folks. So it was fine, and the kids had a great time at Disneyland. But then you think, right, well, you then throw yourself a year into the future thinking, right, misery until then. Or it actually doesn't have to.
It's crazy, really.
Like that, doesn't it?
If you've got... It's crazy.
Yeah, but it's almost like you need to teach people, and that's what you do, to almost go on a little holiday in your mind at any one point, just so you don't feel like... Because the thing is as well, it's why people get so stressed, because it's so much is on that holiday. We've all seen the parents in the airport, you know, about get AU and all that kind of stuff. Because they're going, right, don't mess this up for me because this is my one chance to relax. We all just need to calm down and find those ways to calm down. So thanks for providing some advice around it. What's the best way for people to find out more about the work you do through Sunshine Yoga?
So on Twitter, I'm called @LiverpoolShan. On the other social medias, it's Little Sunshine Mindfulness and Yoga. And my website is www.littlesunshineyoga.co.uk.
Brilliant stuff. And we'll put links to those on the podcast notes as well, as well as the links to the petition as well, to require schools to have daily sessions on mindfulness and meditation. This should include teaching children ways to reduce anxiety, self-love, boundaries, meditation, self-regulation, confidence building, and positive relationships. I believe this would help them learn more effectively too. There's more details about that on the petitions website as well. We'll put a link in the podcast notes. And Katie Scott, thank you so much for your time today. Thanks for joining us on Mental Health Monday.
Thank you.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Mick Coyle. You can also find me, Mick Coyle, on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you want to speak to somebody about your mental health, you can do so. The Samaritans, free to call on 116 123. You can find mental health services where you are. Just look for the Hub of Hope. Type in your postcode. It'll find those mental health services close to you. And for support in a crisis, you can text SHOUT to 85258. That's if you're experiencing a personal crisis, you're unable to cope and need support. Shout to 85258. That's a text line. Do get involved in those services. In an absolute emergency, always remember the number to call is 999. Thanks for downloading the podcast this week. We'll be back next week with more Mental Health Monday.